Praise God. Genesis chapter 38. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to go into the Word today. Amen. Where the Lord has led me this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm always, I always want to be sensitive to what the Lord has to say to us. Amen. You know, you can buy messages. You can buy sermons. I say sermons. You can buy sermons online. And of course, there's AI now that can write you anything, right? That you can put in information to write you anything. Amen. But I want to hear from heaven. Amen. Every time we come and stand before you this morning, the Lord's leading. Amen. And what he would have us to hear and want us to say. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to go there today. Again, it's good to have everybody this morning. We appreciate you, Lorena, and I love you guys. Amen. We mean that today. Just want to bless the Lord. Amen. Genesis 38, we're going to go to verse 27 and read the last four verses, y'all. Four chapters. Amen. You never know. Praise God. Amen. But the last four verses of Genesis 38. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. America, that's good like a medicine. Something like this. Amen. Praise God. And it says this, verse 27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand the scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth this breach be upon thee? Therefore, his name was called Perez. And afterward came out his brother, and that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Amen. Praise God. They're going to bless the shofar, and we want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on and bless him once again in his name. Minister on this thought, breakthrough is inevitable. Amen. Breakthrough is inevitable. Look at your neighbor and say that breakthrough is inevitable. Amen. The scriptures that we read to you this morning is a part of the story of a woman by the name of Tamar. Tamar had been put in a very painful and really an unjust situation. Amen. As we look at her story here in the scripture, she was married. Amen. To Judah's oldest son, Er. Er was wicked, the Bible says, in God's sight. And for that reason, God allowed him to die. Amen. And so this left Tamar, amen, without a husband. But under the marriage customs, amen, the Levirate marriage customs, Judah's second oldest son, whose name was Onan, was to preserve his brother's line of descent. So he was supposed to, amen, take his brother's place, amen, to enable, amen, Tamar to have a son so that it would carry on her deceased husband's, amen, bloodline or his descent. But the Bible tells us that Onan went in, spilled his seed, refusing to do so, and for that reason, God killed Onan. Now, after losing his two oldest sons, amen, Judah made a promise to Tamar that his youngest son, by the name of Shelah, would, when he came of age, he would give her his youngest son to be able to, amen, give her a child to carry on, amen, heirs of descent, amen. But the Bible tells us, the story says, Judah broke that promise, and he did so because he was afraid that his younger son would also die as well. So the Bible tells us that Judah sent Tamar back to her father's house to live as a widow. Now, as the story goes, amen, of course, this upset Tamar, amen, and the Bible says that Tamar dressed herself as a prostitute, and she went on the side of the road that Judah was traveling. Amen. And Judah, she waited along that side of the road for Judah to pass by. Amen. And he didn't recognize her. And the Bible says that Judah engaged with Tamar, thinking that it was just a prostitute, one that he didn't know. But the Bible says that Tamar asked him for his seal, amen, his cord, and his staff as a pledge of payment for the services. Are you with me? Amen. 3 months later, we see, amen, that Judah found out, he heard that Tamar was pregnant. And so this, of course, amen, made him upset. And he assumed that she acted as a prostitute, amen. So he ordered her to be burned to death because he did not want it to bring shame to his family. But as they brought Tamar in, the story tells us that Tamar produced the seal, the cord, and the staff. And she asked Judah, "Who does this belong to?" And Judah said, "Amen, me." And he declared, "Let her live. She is more righteous than I," because it was then, amen, that he was reminded that he broke the promise that he made to her to carry on, amen, the descent of his oldest son, Er. Amen. So now she was pregnant, but not only was she pregnant, but she was pregnant with twins. Amen. So she wasn't going to get one, but she was going to give two. And we read to you now as the months progressed, and she is now in labor, amen, and we see that as she was giving birth, that one of the baby's hands came out first. And the midwife, when she saw the hand, amen, of this first baby come out, amen, she took a scarlet cord, a scarlet thread, and she tied it around his wrist, saying that he came out first. We know, amen, from the scripture that they named that child Zerah. It says Zerah in the King James, but it's pronounced in the Hebrew Zerah. But then something happened unexpectedly. Look at your neighbor and say, unexpectedly. Have you ever been in a place where you thought that as it looked, everything was going to go typically as it usually would? But then all of a sudden, circumstances changed, amen, and the unexpected happened. So imagine, amen, as this first child put out his hand, and the midwife wrapped the scarlet thread, tied a scarlet thread around his wrist, but all of a sudden he pulled the hand back in, and then here comes the head, amen, of the other baby, because the head, amen, of the first one would typically come out first, so it was already, amen, out of the ordinary. Are you with me? Amen. So he threw his hand back, amen, and his brother then came out. Amen. And the midwife said, amen, you know, to the baby, if you will, amen, she said, "How did you manage to break out first?" Amen. If you read, amen, the Hebrew translation, amen, transliteration, it's literally what she said, "How did you break through?" She said, "How is it that you broke out first?" But that is not how it should have happened. Amen. And she said, "For this reason, amen, his name will be Perez." It says, amen, Perez in, amen, Perez, if you would pronounce it in the King James, many pronounce it Perez. Amen, but in the Hebrew, it's Perez, and that doesn't matter here. But Zerah means scarlet, and Perez means breaking out or breaking through. Amen. So we see that Zerah was marked first, but Perez was born first. So it's interesting here, amen, how that Zerah was marked first, but then Perez was born first. And so now we see something in this picture. Amen. Praise God. So imagine both of them, amen, being out and being born. And we have Perez, who was born first, amen, but we have Zerah. Amen. Who really, amen, came out first, and that scarlet thread, amen, that tied around his head. So that scarlet thread identified the one who seemed to have first claim as the oldest son. Are you with me? Amen. So that scarlet thread, amen, seemed to identify that one. But God's providence stepped in, and he allowed the other brother to break through. Amen. I'm so thankful today that I'm not in control of my life, that I'm not in control of my destiny. I've taken the reins too many times that I would like to admit, but when I surrender in everything, heart, mind, and soul unto God, and he begins to take direction, hallelujah, his grace will always bring me back, amen, to where he wants me to be. So now we see, amen, that God's divine providence, his sovereignty, allowed this other brother to break through. And now he took the place of prominence. And as I looked at that, which I have read this before, I have preached on, amen, the scriptures before, never in this context, amen, but as I looked at that, as God led my mind to that, amen, for this morning, we see this pattern in the book of Genesis, right? We see a pattern here, and I believe, and you know, I believe that God is a God of patterns, amen, God is a God that, amen, we can look and see what he's doing. Amen. And he does things in cycles. And he's a God of patterns. Amen. He's a God, amen, that can be recognized, amen, by the patterns that we see. He's trying to show us himself. Amen. When he, amen, allows these patterns to be manifested. But we see this pattern in the book of Genesis. Hang with me for just a moment. God often overturns natural expectation. Amen. Oftentimes, God will overturn, or he will shift, amen, natural expectation. We see this, amen, when Abel was, amen, favored over Cain. Amen. We see this when Isaac was chosen over Ishmael. We see this with Jacob and Esau. We see Joseph being raised above all of his older brothers. Amen. It is out of sequence, even according to the law and to tradition. Amen. The natural sequence, or the natural pattern, or the natural expectation, amen, was overturned. Cain was the oldest brother. He should have been favored over Abel, but Abel was favored over Cain. Amen. We see this now here in Genesis 38. We see this with Perez over Zerah. Amen. But you gotta look, as you look on down and you research and look through the history, and you begin to see, amen, the life of Perez and where his direction went. You see later on in scripture that Perez became the bloodline for the messianic promise. Amen. It would continue because of the bloodline of Perez. We see that expected privilege and that visible markers. And we see, amen, human order. But we see God taking and overturning. See, we don't always know, amen, when the unexpected happens or the things that we didn't anticipate take place. We don't always realize, amen, that it is actually for our good. We don't always realize, amen, that God is moving in his divine sovereign providence over our lives. That's why we've got to be willing to let ourselves be killed for the glory and the sake of the gospel. You say, you mean that literally? Yes, I do. Am I there yet? I'm not sure. But my heart is driven to that place that my yes means yes. Not maybe, amen, not if the circumstances bade me well, not if it makes me feel want my yes to be yes unto my Father. That whatever he would want me to do, I would be willing wholeheartedly to do. You see, it's not, amen, that you will always necessarily lose your life, but you got to be willing to go to places where your life could be lost. Because see, he that values his life will lose it, but he that loses his life will gain life. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. I'm just laying a foundation this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to that's maybe hit some unexpected circumstances, some things that, amen, that have taken everything out of natural order. But I've come to tell you that our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my Father Creator, hallelujah, specializes in bringing order out of chaos. He is able to sufficiently take care of his own. And with me, they, this expected, we see that the expected privilege, even the visible markers, are you with me? Or even human order couldn't control the sovereign plan of God. Couldn't stop it. Couldn't control it. Couldn't change it. And so now the scarlet thread gives us an image. See, we can go all the way back to Genesis. Amen? When Adam and Eve fell into sin, and the Bible tells us they were naked, right? And when God came looking for them in the garden, he knew where they were. He wanted them to know that he knew where they were. So he said, where are you? And they come up there making us some fig leaves. But the Bible says that God covered their nakedness with the skin of an animal. So we see blood. We see sacrifice. We see that scarlet, that blood, as a sign here, beginning all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Here in this story, it served as a birth marker. The child whose hand appeared first, but later on, I think more familiar maybe than this story with the scarlet thread, is a larger story becoming a more meaningful thread of redemption. Begin to play out a bigger picture. So now we're starting to see patterns unfold. So that every time we see a scarlet thread or we see scarlet mentioned, our minds should go to the same place. Are you with me? This is how God works, because in that larger story we see on in the scripture, amen, where the story of Rahab, amen, remember Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute who lived in Jericho, amen. You remember that story when, amen, the spies went over, amen, to spy out Jericho, amen, and Rahab hid them on under the flax on her roof, amen, and she said, amen, for some compensation because she believed, she said, we've heard of your God, of the God of Israel, we've heard about your God, amen. So she knew that judgment and danger, amen, destruction was imminent. So she said, if I hide you, then will you save me and my family when God brings this judgment? And the spy told her, if you will hang a scarlet thread in your window, amen, we will see. Are you hearing me? Amen. Praise God. That it is you. Amen. So she hung that scarlet thread in her window in Jericho, and this was the mark marker for rescue of her household when judgment came. Amen. And so we see yet another instance of God's providence. When she was part of Jericho, she was part of the system, she was part of the city, she was part of the people, and by rights, she should have been destroyed. Amen. But we see God's providence, amen, working here. And I tell you, we often don't understand God's ways. I want to hang here for just a moment. Amen. Now that we're here in Jericho, we often don't understand God's ways. Amen. When God gives us visions and God gives people ideas, have you ever gotten an idea, amen, or had a vision, amen, and it was so crazy in your mind, you were like, there is no way that that would ever, amen, be possible, especially when the strategy is presented to somebody else. When you start to say it out loud, you think, oh my goodness, amen, and other people are like, I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how that's even viable. Amen. Well, we see this in the story of Rahab and Jericho. Amen. We can see, amen, how God's providence was working here. Amen. And the redemption became greater and bigger in the picture, a bigger picture of redemption. I want us to think about Joshua for a minute. We know that Joshua, amen, took over for Moses, and now he was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But there was an obstacle on the way to the promised land, and that obstacle was the city of Jericho. Amen. Praise God. Now, Joshua was a military man, and so he was trying to figure out how he was going to get past the obstacle of Jericho and get the children of Israel into the promised land. He had to take Jericho first. Now, Jericho was known for their conflict, and we know that they were known for their fortification. It was a walled up city, and we preached before, amen, how it was up, amen, on an incline, on a hill, amen, and there were literally things we preached in detail. Amen. I had to go up, amen, in order to be able to even scale the walls of Jericho. And so he looks out there and he sees all of it. Have you ever looked at the circumstances and thought, I have a lot, often, sometimes, several times a week. You look at the circumstances, you're like, So he looks out over Jericho, and he sees that it's all walled up, and they're ready for war as he tries to figure out how to do this. Because God has given him the commission, and he's also told him, don't be afraid. All right? I don't know about you, but I'd be like, So he's looking out over Jericho, and he sees that it's all walled up, and he tries to figure out how to do it. And then the Bible says an angel shows up. Now I want you to keep in mind, this angel is looking at the same city, the same circumstances, nothing has changed. The same thing that Joshua is looking at, amen, he's looking at the same details, but the angel says to Joshua, it's ready to be taken. It's ready to be taken. Now, Joshua, if you've been like a lot of us, because you know I'm a very analytical thinker, I'm a very analytical person. It makes me feel better when things make sense. But that's not always how God works. Usually it's not. 99.9% of the time, it doesn't make sense. It makes sense when it's done, but not prior to, right? I would have been like, hold up. Wait a minute. Where are y'all went? That was the wrong story to that to myself. But I mean, I would be like, hold on. Do you not see? What do you mean it's ready to be taken? Have you looked at us and looked at them. Explain yourself. But listen, he said, it's now ready to be taken. And Joshua, here's what stuck out to me that I never really paid attention to before. Joshua never questioned, but he pursued the possibility. Help me, Jesus, to pursue the possibility without questioning. Help me, Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody, hear me. He didn't even say, in his mind, amen, his imagination, his intuition, amen, instantly went to pursuing the possibilities. Okay, then, it's ready to be taken. Let's do this. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? I want you to hear me today. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to make you feel the love of God in deeper than you have ever felt before. How much He has made provision for you. So he pursued the possibility without question, and this allowed him to hear God's strategy. Do you know, I believe sometimes why we don't hear the answer to the solution is because we won't consider the possibility of God's way of doing it. God is a God of strategy. Come on, He's so far ahead of you. He's already in tomorrow. We know that. He's been where you are today, amen. Nothing is surprising to Him, are you understanding me? And He hears God's strategy. Now we know, amen, what God told him. The angel said, this is what you got to do. He said, I want you to get the priest, and I want you to, amen, get the shofar, and I want you to get the ark. The priest is going to bear the ark. You're going to march around the city wall, amen, in complete silence, and they're going to blow the shofar one time as they march around the wall, and I want you to do this for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want the same priest. I want you to line up and do the same thing. This time, I want you, amen, to make sure that the people are there. And you're going to march on the seventh day. You're going to march 7 times. And when you have marched the seventh time, then you're going to blast the shofar for one long blast. And the people are going to shout. And that's how it's going to happen. Now, imagine Joshua. I picture this. Imagine Joshua going back to the chiefs of his army and saying, okay, fellas, I've got the answer. This is how we're going to take Jericho. We're going to march around the wall one time, blow the shofar, but you can't say a word. And we're going to do this for 6 days and say nothing. And then on the seventh day, we're going to do it again, but we're going to march 7 times. And we're going to take the people, and they're all going to come with us. And on the seventh march, we're going to blast the shofar one more time, but it's going to last as long as necessary. And you, the people, are then going to shout and watch us take Jericho. Can you imagine these skilled, amen, chiefs of army going, what?
Right.
The same thing that you do when somebody comes to you with a strategy, amen, and an idea that God gives them to say, I believe this will work. You're thinking, But Joshua was really willing to pursue the possibility that God would follow through with his word. And here's, think about how crazy that sounds. You know, some of you would be like, bro. Are you sure you heard from God?
Right.
Are you sure that's what God's saying? Come on. How crazy. And see, here's the thing. We think our imagination is evil, and it can be if we let it go to the satisfying of the flesh. But our imagination is given to us by God, and if we will let our imagination be controlled by heaven and the work of the Holy Ghost, we would see strategies, and I believe that we would get from God that would literally set these same patterns in the motion to where nobody could question when it's all done that it was God. Are you hearing me? Nobody could question it. But you know, our culture teaches us, you know, think about our kids. When our kids, if you see kids, Layton is very creative. She has, from the time she was small, such a big imagination. And our culture tends to say, oh, tone that down, honey. When I believe that that is a gift from God, and that if we would nurture that and sanctify that, all the possibilities that God could do out of a mind that's willing to imagine the impossible. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? But now they say, tone it down. No, this is, honey, no. You had to get carried away with your imagination. They were going to enter in or attack that. Are you hearing me? Come on, somebody. I don't know why I'm saying this, but listen to me today. I'm still talking about breakthrough is inevitable. But there was one word that God's strategy was surrounded by. One word. Think about the theme of all 7 days. It wasn't marching, because the marching didn't do anything. What was it that made the difference? It's not a trick question. What? The sound. There's a theme. There was one word. Amen. In God's strategy, and it was the word sound. Now, when you study sound, which I have, not in depth, but I've studied sound, especially since I've been working on some changes in my health, I've been looking at frequencies, and God created us with frequencies. Our words carry frequencies. Our thoughts carry frequencies that are able to shift and change. You're like, oh, that's New Age. No, it's not. It's just because New Age has labeled it, and they use it for the wrong reason. It's God's creative ability. Are you understanding me? Amen. Praise God. He's like, I don't believe that. Why do you think he told them not to put, amen, wool and linen together? Because wool and linen carry frequencies by themselves that will bring healing to the body. But when you put them together, they cross those healing frequencies out. That it wasn't by law. That's the law. You wear wool and linen together, you're going to break the law of God. No, God was trying to help us understand that he made these bodies, amen, to be sufficient upon him and him only. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me today? But anyway. And there's, when you look at this and you understand sound, and you can look throughout the Bible and you can see sound being used as God's strategy in more than one place. You're like, oh. See, it's the same thing. You're like, oh, you just let your mind go too far.
Come on.
I'm there. And it makes sense to me. This is really what is called sound dissonance. You see, what is dissonance? And so instead of me trying to remember it, amen, and say it precisely, I want to read to you the key concepts behind dissonance. It's about the physics of sound, and this has been proved scientifically, amen. Dissonant sounds occur when frequencies do not have simple mathematical relationships. When these sound waves overlap, they produce uneven, competing vibrations known as beating, which our ears perceive as rough or harsh. The tension and the resolution, the primary function of dissonance is to build suspense. It's like a character conflict in a story. A dissonant chord or intervals or interval wants to resolve. Amen. So it's chaos that wants, amen, trying to get cleared up. It's when the suspense of something, when you know that something is about to happen, but you don't know what's going to happen. It's why music changes in movies and in suspense. Music is made. All this music is a spiritual aspect. That's why hell is taking it over for the love of the world. But you know something's about to happen, but you don't know what it is. So, do you watch Jaws? You're sitting on the edge of your seat, but once you hear that sound and that those beats and that uneven, then you know, something's about to happen. When you heard it the first time, you realize it was Jaws. The shark was getting ready to come. Now when you hear it, you know what's coming, but you know how what's going to happen. So you're on the edge of your seat. You're not sure what you're going to do. Can I tell you today, that the enemy knows when God is about to show up and be God in our lives. Listen, it pulls the listener toward a stable, pleasing, consonant chord, creating a natural music narrative of tension followed by release. This very thing that happened at Jericho was nothing more than a sonic dissonance. Some of y'all are well, study for yourself. Right, you know, right, I told you all the time. Don't pay money for it. Get in the Word of God. See, it sounds crazy, you know. Now, think of what needed to happen. They told Rahab that if the scarlet thread is in the window, your household will be spared. So now, the walls of this fortified city have got to come down without her apartment coming away. Come on. Are you hearing me? Understand that? So the walls needed to collapse in such a way that Rahab's apartment would not be affected by it. See, demolition needed to take place. It needed to drop down and not fall out. And I will tell you, we preached here before, that if you read the Hebrew context and the transliteration, that the walls did not fall and crumble on the pieces. They literally collapsed down into the ground. You said amen when I preached that a few years ago. Now we're trying to help you understand that God is a strategist. He knows how to get the glory. So in order to achieve this, demolition cracks had to be strategically placed in the wall. Hence, for 6 days, once a day, making a sound as they marched around the wall. Not go on, just go short. That was it. Silence. Not a word. Don't talk. Well, some of y'all would have a hard time. You can't even walk around the room without talking, let alone walking around the city. Silence. One sound. That sound of the shofar. That actually, there's no other sound to imitate that sound. That's God's sound. Go home, go back to camp, come back, do it again the next day. Same thing. One time, make one sound. Now imagine the people in the city. About the third or fourth day, they're like, so they're just going about living life with the confidence that nobody, they're invincible, nobody's going to get to them, nobody's going to touch them, nobody's going to be able to break through. Oh, but the God of breakthrough, hallelujah, just like Peretz
Breakthrough, hallelujah. Despite, amen, the scarlet thread identifying the firstborn. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So imagine that. So after 6 days of the frequencies of the sound of that shofar hitting the walls of that city, amen, I believe now placing cracks in the walls of that city, preparing for it to come down, and the enemy didn't even know what was about to happen other than what he did hurt somebody. Help me. That's why you gotta let out a praise even when it don't feel good. That's why you gotta let out a shout even when you are in doubt. That's why you gotta say, no matter what happens, he's still God. And I will praise him, because the enemy doesn't know that every time your praise makes a sound, it's putting a demolition clock in the wall that he thinks is invincible, that he thinks is impossible, that you will not cross over. But I come to tell somebody that because of Jesus, breakthrough is in heaven.
Yes, amen.
That's good. Yeah. So now, listen. God said, you can't talk. Shut me up. Every time I hear somebody say, shut up, we don't allow the kids to say, shut up, growing up. Hayley was and is a mess.
Say more, Hayley.
But she's something else. She's barely 2 years old. Now she listens to the kids. And so she knew she wasn't allowed to say, shut up. So she would be in her car seat in the back seat. She would be going like, shut up, devil. You shut up, devil. Because she knew I couldn't say anything to her because it was so devil. Come on, she would say, shut up, devil. Just so she could say, shut up and get by with it. Amen. I preached some revival service about the blood. She was just probably barely 2 years old. And I went and buckled her in her seat. And she looked at me and she said, why don't you preach about the blood for me? It's hard for us to not, you know, listen. That's why you have to be silent. Because the frequencies that would come from the sound of your voice could not have any contribution to the cracks that were going in the walls. I believe that. You say, you've lost your mind. You're right, and I don't want it back. So complete silence, and on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Now think of this, the people in Jericho are like, okay. So he goes through, they're like, oh, so get the gun, stop the party, something. They're like, ugh. So here they are, silent. Six times now. And then on the seventh time, now you can blast the wall. And the people shouted. The frequency of God's shofar and the frequency from the sound of their shout brought the walls all of the cracks in the walls now allow the walls to go down instead of falling, leaving the scarlet thread visible for rescue and household. Do you understand how much detail God has put into rescuing you and I? Why do you think David's heart playing soothed Saul? Because the sound of that music from the anointed David sent the enemy back to where he came from. Remember, the army was going down, and they said, I hear the sound in the bushes. I hear the sound of an army marching. There's something about sound. God's voice manifested on Mount Sinai as the sound of thunder. Well, come on, somebody, do you hear it? Amen. And John later in Revelation says, like the sound of many waters. Will somebody help me in this place? So science was manifested, sound dissonance was manifested all the way back in Genesis before any scientist ever came up with it. And where do you think they got it? The one who created the sound. The rest is history. Gideon was going to hear the sound of the broken scattering the enemy. Do you see the pattern? So, I don't know how long it's going to take for your breakthrough to come. But just praise him and keep silent and watch God bring breakthrough on your behalf. You hear me? I'm trying to finish this. Joshua and his army had no idea what this process was. They couldn't give a name for it other than victory. They couldn't give a name for it other than breakthrough. It was God's divine providence working that no matter how many years your child has been a prodigal, no matter how, I said on this side in our study, amen, how a man took these five Muslims from Indonesia, and he was bringing them over to Texas to a men's conference. And these men had never been more than 10 miles out of their homeland where they were because of, these were armed men, men that were used to, like soldiers, if you will. And some, one especially, was really violent, had a violent past, and they had never been on a plane. They had never seen water, like the ocean, nothing. And he said, when one of them was on the plane, that when he looked out the window and he saw the earth, he said, this is what our God sees when he sees the earth. Now, we know his God was all along, but you get it. He said, he don't see the walls that divide us and the walls that separate us. This is, he just sees the world. Imagine having that mindset. But we got our Baptists over here, our Methodists over here, our Episcopalians over here, our Presbyterians over here. We got our, you know, and let's not talk about the 50 the 50 divisions of Baptists that we have. And then we got our Pentecostal over here. There's another 50 divisions of that. Some believe that in one, some believe in three, some believe in five, some believe this, that. Then we got this over here, then we got the Catholics over here. You see what I'm saying? Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't die just for the Baptists or the Pentecostals or the Methodists. He didn't die just to give one exclusive group revelation. He died so that all who would believe shall be saved. Imagine your imagination imagining that. Come on. It's another time. But listen. The strategy that God gave to Joshua wasn't rational. It made no sense. But it was intuitive to the one who was in control. Because remember when Joshua was seeking the angel, he said, whose side are you on? Ours or theirs? And the angel said, neither. I don't take sides. Jesus is neither Republican or Democrat or Independent or Baptist or Pentecostal or Methodist. Jesus is none of that mess. What a real Jesus do you stand by? He said, I come as a representative of the captain of the angel armies, the Lord of hosts. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. This came from God's intuitive mind. Are you hearing me? God's, amen, sovereign will. His ways are not our ways. We can't even begin to fathom or imagine. Listen, have you ever seen music? Amen. This is why when the music is loud enough, it'll literally rock the foundation because the frequency's coming from that sound. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm trying to get away from this. Amen. But when you understand music, and I'm not, I never took music, I can't even read music. Amen. None of it. Amen. Praise God. But when you understand the theories of music and how music works, and when somebody truly understands that and they write a song, they're going to put, amen, refrains and bridges into songs because of the whole idea, amen, is that the beginning of the song, amen, maybe a verse or two and a chorus and a repeated chorus, is setting a mindset. Then you get to this bridge of refrain. Now the suspense is building up because it's about to take you over to the breakthrough. This morning, I know some of y'all, when we were singing that song, amen, Jesus be the name. Today's the first time we sang that. Y'all act like you can't worship to a song you've never heard us sing before. Y'all. Come on. But listen, when that part in there, and I know some people, they're like, oh, that sounds worldly. I've heard people say that. But when we get to that part, hallelujah, it says, whoa, yeah, oh. And I tell you that the frequencies and the sound are building up because it's about to bring a breakthrough. Oh, come on. Because now we can declare it that no matter what the verse has said, no matter what kind of mess I was in, here it comes. There's healing in that name. There's freedom in that name. There's salvation in that name. I felt a surge and an unction of the Holy Ghost about the third time we were singing that. God, here it is. Here it is. That sound is going to bring down the walls. If we could just understand how you have given us the ability to have a breakthrough without. We've been taught. Listen, you all know. I believe in everything the Bible says. I believe there's a place of fasting. You know that. It's
Some of y'all don't like it, but you know. But we've been taught that if we don't fast a certain amount of time, we don't pray a certain amount of time, and we don't do this, we don't do that, that we're not going to get breakthrough. But you got to understand that breakthrough is already in existence. It's inevitable. All you have to do is release it. That might mean walking in the wilderness by faith, but you praise the devil's step. That might mean suffering for a little while, but in your sufferings, you understand that that is the denying of myself, taking up my cross, and following him. If I suffer with it, I'm going to reign with him. Come on, somebody do your healing. The pattern of this scarlet, this scarlet thread, if you will, you gotta go back to Egypt when the blood was on the doorknobs. What happened? Death passed over. The scarlet thread was woven into the priestly garments and into the veil of the temple. God is doing something, saying something. In the second temple, it was tied to the door of the temple. We go, and the scarlet thread was tied on the scapegoat during Yom Kippur. But of course, the scarlet robe of Jesus at his crucifixion, letting us understand that redemption by that deliverance comes, and redemption is by the blood of Jesus and not by human worthiness. Because the royal bloodline continued through the deaths. From him came Boaz. From Boaz came Obed. Obed came Jesse. From Jesse came David. From David came Jesus. All that. And Rahab, the harlot, is in that bloodline as well. So, the messianic promise was passed down and moved through by God's divine providence. The Messiah story passed through the genealogy of shame, scandal, reversal, and grace. Whenever there should have been the human pattern. It should have been the way that looks like God took it. I'm so glad he didn't wait for clean human history before sending a Savior. He worked through broken families, through unexpected births, morally complicated situations to preserve his promise. Will he do it? You have to tell somebody today that God's plan of redemption, it's never late. It's never accidental. And it's never dark. Even when our lives are a mess, God is so sorry. All he asks us to do is trust believe, and obey. What if I fall? Get up. Just don't say where he fell. Own the possibilities. Think of all the ways that God could have overtaken Jericho. God could have struck Jericho with one word and brought it down. But now, all the way, thousands and thousands of years ago, that happens to be okay. But thousands and thousands of years later, here we are talking about that very story. How God strategized and used Sam and his people to bring breakthrough. So it's already in existence, because redemption by the blood of Jesus is now complete. The breakthrough is already determined because God is sovereign. Unless you believe he's going to leave you as one of his own to be destroyed, you have to know that breakthrough is already determined because he is sovereign. That scarlet thread pointed to a greater redemption, a greater reserve, a greater plan. Perez broke through unexpectedly. God breaks through finally. It is finished. It is over. All that needs done has now been fulfilled. Mankind can now be restored back into a right relationship with our Father Creator, intended. He had, according to Paul, he adopted each and every one of us into his family before we were ever born. And because Jesus came, died, resurrected, ascended back, the promise came on Pentecost, nothing can reverse that. So everything that we are, who we are, is based on the fact that Jesus came, died, resurrected, and is seated back at God, the right hand of the Father. Nothing's ever going to change that. So nothing can ever change who we were created to be. Jesus came to restore that back into our rightful position. We are now heirs. So God's plan of redemption makes breakthrough inevitable. And we see that all through a scarlet thread hanging on the window of a house of whoredom. Grace, mercy, redemption, woven all throughout the scripture. He has you in mind, he's got you in mind. He'll keep you in mind. Because he whose mind is set on him is kept in perfect peace. Don't come to music. Breakthrough is inevitable today. I believe some of you have made cracks in the walls that the enemy as a connection that is built around you. You didn't know it. You didn't realize what God was doing. But he was preparing for breakthrough. It's inevitable. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't escape it. Listen, you can't escape it. I'm not preaching you some fluffy, fluffy thing because there's a lot of stuff in the process on the way of breakthrough. And it is not pleasant, not always enjoyable. But for this cause, you came. I want to leave something for the next generation to emulate. Little Kaiser, I said his name. He's a sinner. We better talk about his name. This couple's name is Will. And every time I say the will of God, he said, why is that you don't say your name all the time? I said, if you never said my name, I said, well, I'll try to remember the same name. But dude, he's got a rag, he's got a prayer shawl, he's got a pulpit, and then he sings and he preaches and he, amen. And that is trying to do what I do.
Yep.
Lord, strengthen and help him.
Yes.
But I don't want him just to emulate what I do. I want him to hear and understand what I'm saying so that he knows when he does what I do, it will make a difference somewhere in his life rather than other people's. God wants to remind somebody this morning as you stand at your feet. That breakthrough is inevitable. And every time you pray, you rise above the circumstances that may be the opposition. And you choose to trust. You put a crack in the wall. And there's going to be that one time, that one praise, that one prayer, that one sound that's just going to cause the walls to fall flat. All because of the scarlet, the blood that God wove all throughout history to bring redemption. So if you're here today, you're lost, you don't know Jesus. I want to encourage you to say yes to him today. Today's your day. Say yes. It'll be the most important decision